All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your love towards us, Lord, and your loving kindness, your long suffering, your patience, we thank you for you, Lord, being part of our lives and you drawing us into your life. And Lord, we ask tonight that, one, you would be here. We invite you here, Lord. But also, Lord, we ask that you would guide us by your Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would give me the words to speak, Lord, your words, the words that you want your people to hear. And I pray, Lord, that you would prepare each heart to hear those words, Lord, that they may take them, that they may be sweet to them, that they may chew on them and swallow them, Lord, and digest them. You know what is needed tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would give each one a portion of Jesus. Each one of us, Lord. Lord, help me to have ears to hear your word. I believe I've heard correctly your burden, but I need you to guide me, Lord, and getting it out the way you want it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Romans 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Did everybody get what they wanted for Christmas? A couple people did. Well, I hope you did. I hope you got what you wanted. I know some people made sure they got what they wanted because they told everybody, "This is what I want." Makes it easy. You don't have to worry about getting disappointed. You got a gift. You got, like I said, hopefully you got the gift you wanted or the gifts you wanted. But you know, it's interesting that we kind of focus on that one day, Christmas, as, oh, we got these gifts. We're all excited and we're ready, you know, to open the presents and see what it was or what it is I'm getting. Or did so-and-so get the thing I was asking for, hinting at? And then we open it up and there it is. Whatever it is. I won't even go into what it might have been, but you're excited. You're thankful. You feel good. And it's wonderful. And then the next day, it's not so wonderful as yesterday. Everybody's gone. The presents are opened. And yeah, I'm still excited about having that thing or that whatever, that money, that what I wanted. But it still doesn't have that same excitement on it as it used to. Plus, you know, Christmas, you know, toward the end of the day, you know, I kind of got irritated at so-and-so. And I'm sure I probably irritated a bunch of people, too. And I was tired. And you know, and that gift just didn't do it for me. I mean, I'm tired, I'm grumpy. You know, don't bother me. Put in a video, leave me alone. Isn't Christmas Day wonderful? But yet you still have the gift. And you can use the gift the next day. I'll use that gift the next day. And the next day. Until eventually you get tired of it. Or you get bored with it. Or it breaks. Or it tears. Or you spend it. We like getting gifts, don't we? Don't we? No? You don't like getting gifts? Tony says no, he doesn't like getting gifts. Well, there's some honest people in here. Probably know where I'm going. Yeah, there are gifts we do like to get, and then there are gifts we don't like to get. And many times, the gifts that we don't like to get are the ones we don't ask for. And many times those gifts can be, well, you know, you heard the funny stories of the husband who, thinking he was doing the right thing, and gives the ironing board and iron to his wife for Christmas. Or, of course, the famous one, and on Father's Day, the father always gets that weird-looking tie. Sometimes we get gifts we don't want. But I tell you, I think in terms of this being the celebration of Christ's birth and the celebration of God becoming a human and giving us the gift of his son, that sometimes that's not a gift we want. And Stan spoke to it earlier this morning in terms of God coming into our life. And there's more trouble. And you know, it's a gift. He comes into our life and it causes more trouble. You know, we flap around and we grumble and we complain. Why me? What is this happening? What's going on? Why aren't you accepting the gift? It's a gift. You should be happy. Yeah, right. God gives us many gifts. Even though it's his birthday, even though it's his time, he gives us many gifts. He gives us so many gifts, we can't even count it. I mean, how many woke up this morning and were still breathing? You know? How many are here and they're still in relatively good health and don't have any major problems? That's a gift. How many are well fed? That's a gift. How many have a roof over their head? That's a gift. How many have a family that they love that, well, they love mostly? To be honest, there's times when we don't love the family, but then we have a family. Mother, father, sisters, brothers. That's a gift. How many of us have an animal that's a pet that loves us or somewhat loves us? Like those goats, maybe, sometimes. Tony loves them. That's a gift. But how about things like, obviously, the Holy Spirit that God gives us? That's a gift. Jesus said to the disciples before he was crucified that, I'm going to send. I'm going to ask the Father to send a comforter, a helper for you. And he will bring you into all truth. That's a gift. What about the gift of faith? That's a gift. If you have faith in God, he gave it to you. What if you have understanding of the scriptures, understanding of the word, understanding of what God wants? That's a gift. Because only he can give that to you. What if you are diligently repenting each day as God shows you things in your life? That's a gift. That's a precious gift. And I pray that we will not blow it because he can take that gift away. I already mentioned the gift of Jesus being born to us, coming to us, being born to die, and then being resurrected to life, being the firstborn from the dead. He is a gift. What about the gift of love? Oh yeah, we say we have love, but it lasts about 2 seconds until somebody messes with us. But his love that he gives us endures, as it says in 1 Corinthians. It's patient. It doesn't count a thing wrong. It covers over wrong that it's been done to you. That's love from God, and it's a gift. What about the gift of salvation? We talked about or read in Romans 6:23. It's a gift. The gift of salvation. It's not just going to heaven, as we think. Matter of fact, it really doesn't even refer to that. It's a gift of saving us from ourselves, really. From the works of Satan in us. From the sin that's in us. It's a gift. What about the gift of sacrifice? The gift of sacrifice. God gave us that gift by sending his son to die for us. Many gifts. The gifts of food, the air, little things that we just take for granted. The ability to walk, the ability to think, the ability to speak and talk and put our arms around someone and touch someone and feel and have emotion and feelings. Gifts. All given by God. He didn't ask us. He didn't say, Lisa, what do you want? And Lisa gave him his list, right? And then he provided that. No, he didn't ask us. He provided those things out of his love. All of those things. The things we take for granted. The things we think, nothing to it. Air we breathe. Oh, yeah, it's always here. Gifts that he gives, even on his birthday that we celebrate. So let me ask you another question. Did you give Jesus the gift he wanted? Did you ask him what he wanted? Did you go to him and say, Lord, we're celebrating your birthday. What is it that you want from me? Did we do that? Or were we bound up in what was going on with us? Did we ask him, Lord, do you even want a gift from me? And if you do, what is it? You've given me all these things. And not just on your birthday, which is really kind of important because we're supposed to be given to you. But you give these to me every day of the year. Every day. All of my life you've been giving these things to me. What do you want, Lord? What do you want? And of course, being Christmas, we think, okay, what do you want today, Lord? What do you want today? Did we ask him, what do you want that day? That would have been good. That would have been great. And I have to admit, I thought about it, and I did kind of say, you know, Lord, you know, I give me to you and that kind of thing. But I didn't go to him and ask, what did he want? He might not have wanted me. I should have asked him, what do you want, Lord? So as I was thinking, you know, Lord, what do you want me to share tonight? That kept coming back. What did I ask the Lord for? What does he want? He gives all these gifts to us. We don't see them as gifts because they're everyday. They're common. They're just a part of our environment. And so we don't think much about it. And so we don't really have such a grateful heart to say, Lord, thank you for all you're doing for me. All you're doing in me. Thank you for calling me out of the world to be a part of you. Thank you for choosing me to be a part of you, to be one with you, to have eternal life. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the grace to do the things you want me to do. Lord, what is it that you want? And so I feel the Lord is saying, I do want something. I have something I want. And I think the Bible tells us what it is he wants. And I think it comes from the heart of the Father through Jesus to us. And it's a gift to understand it and to know what it is. Because not everybody understands it. Everybody thinks, at least everybody in the church or most people in the church thinks that God wants us to go to heaven and to miss hell. And to live in heaven for thousands of years and millions of years and billions of years and worship him. Constantly. 24/7. I don't think he's asking for that. I think he wants something more important. A gift that we can give. Look at Acts 7. Verse 40, starting at verse 45. God gives us a good, clear idea of what he wants. This is Stephen. He's in front of the Sanhedrin. They're a little ticked at him because the Holy Spirit's on Stephen and He's been doing miracles and doing things for this Jesus Christ that they keep proclaiming, and they're a little mad at him, and so they bring him in to basically question him and ask him, what are you doing? And so he's given him by the Holy Spirit a word from God. And in 45, he says, having received the tabernacle, our fathers under Joshua brought it with them when they took the land from the nations. God drove out before them. It remained in the land until the time of David, who enjoyed God's favor and asked that he might provide a dwelling place for God, for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built the house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? So he gives us a real clear hint of what he's looking for. And what is that? A house. A house. He's looking for a house. Now we know from Scripture that God is building a house. He's building it through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. But he needs stones to build up this house, to build the walls and get the rooms and everything in there. He's not talking about real physical stones. He's talking about other kinds of stones. What kind of stones is he talking about? Living stones, as Peter tells us. Living stones. But he can't just go out and get a living stone. He can't go and say, oh, I'm going to get this living stone, that living stone, that living stone, and put my house together. Just like in Egypt when the Israelites were under the Pharaohs and having to take mud and straw and put them in these molds and heat them up and cure them so that they can make bricks. God has to do the same thing with his living stones that he wants. He can't just get me and say, I'm going to make you my, or you're my living stone, and here you are, put you in this niche with some mortar and put you in my wall. He's got to get it together. He's got to mold it. He's got to take that. He's got to put it in a mold. He's got to heat it up. Heat, pressure, until it comes out perfect like he wants it, a living stone. And of course, we know that heat and pressure is the things, as Stan said this morning, the trouble we get when Christ comes near us. You know what Israel means? Do you know what Israel means? What the meaning of it is? What is it, Tony?
One who wrestles with God.
One who wrestles with God. One who struggles with God. That's what Israel means. And we're part of Israel. So by that fact that we're part of Israel and have been grafted in when we come to know Jesus, by default, we're going to be struggling. Not with the world like we think, not with our fellow human beings like we think, but with God. That's that heat and that pressure. We have the ability to give God a gift. Because we can say no. We can back away from that. We can back away from the pressure and the heat and say, no, I'm done with it. Nope. I'm going to seek my happiness. I'm going to do what I want. And all these people that are bothering me, forget them. I'm out of here. I'll divorce her or him. I'll walk away from my children. I'll walk away from my job and be a bum. I'll avoid it. My goal is to be happy. And we can arrest that process that God is doing to make us a living stone, that gift that he wants to build his house. Now you can have a house. God can have a house. He can build a house. Now say you've built a house, but in your house, say, Tony, you just built your house here a couple of years ago, but in your house, if every time you go home, there's people in there partying. There's people in there using your stuff, breaking it, tearing it up, destroying your furniture. And it happens every day. You come, and it happens all the time. You come back, and all these people are in there doing these things, sleeping in your bed, messing with your goats, all that. How would you feel?
Be nice.
How would you feel?
It's obvious. I'm angry.
You would feel angry, yeah. Okay. Liz, you built your house and you come home after a hard day of teaching children, and you come back and you got relatives over there and they're messing around and they're crabbing about how you cook and, you know, could you make this better? And, hey, the bed was a little lumpy. Can you fix it? And all these things. How would you feel?
Not very happy.
Not very happy.
Frustrated.
Mistreated. Okay. Would another word be restless? Would you find any peace in that home? Tony, would you find any peace in that home? No. Well, in God's house, he feels the same way because, you know, even though Jesus bought back the property, bought back everything, redeemed it with his blood, his death, the tenants decided not to move. Even though they've got the eviction notice, they decided not to move. They're still in there. So for God, he tries to come home, and what has he got?
Squatters.
Squatters. Doing this, doing that, messing up, doing things he doesn't like. He feels what?
Restless.
There's stuff in my house. Ugh. I need to get it out. Hebrews, it talks about finding God's rest. Being in God's rest. God's looking for rest. And you say, God, well, why don't he just kick those squatters out of there? Just go there, in there and just, I mean, take the angels and start fleeing, throwing people up out the door. Boom. But he can't. You know why? Because those living stones that he's trying to make have given permission for those squatters to be in there. And he's not going to go against that yet. So the gift that God is looking for, if we were to ask him, would be, according to his word, rest. Rest in his own house. Rest from the irritation, if you will, of sin. Yeah, God's almighty. God's all powerful. I mean, he could snap his finger and be done with it and go into his house clean. Squatters are gone. But he'd be missing something. Wouldn't have any rooms in there. Wouldn't have any living stones. Now, he could snap his finger and make those too. But what would he have? Would he have someone who's gone through the crucible, the fire, gone through getting rid of sin in their lives, gone through the troubles, the struggle with God, to have the sin taken away and have the seed that he placed in there to grow? So that it becomes a living stone, that it becomes the room that he's looking for. So unless he had that program of salvation, that program of the obstacles, the struggle and so forth going on, he's going to have an empty house. And he's going to have a house that nobody's in. Or if he just snaps his finger and makes these living stones in these rooms, he's going to have just robots. Now, I know people have said, you know, oh, I'd love to have a robot, you know. Yeah, it'd be great to have a companion. They'd be perfect. They'd do everything I want them to do. They'd say everything that they were supposed to say. And I would really love my robot. I would really, really, really love him. And he would love me. As much as a robot can love anything. Now, the initial gift of that robot, or getting that robot and working with it and learning about it, and it would probably be great. Wonderful. But then over time, what would happen? You would get bored. You would get bored because it always says the same thing. It always does the same thing. I ask him a question, And it gives me the same answer. Not, I mean, same answer to the, I mean, it's the right answer, but it's the same answer. I ask it what it thinks, and it gives me something I already know, because I put it in there. It comes and gives me a hug, but it's kind of cold. Maybe if I put a little heater there on its chest, it might be warmer, but it's still kind of cold. I tell it, I love you. And it says, I love you. And you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, right? Maybe at first, but after a while, no. God doesn't want robots. That's not the gift he's looking for. He's looking for, how shall I say, Lord? He's looking for somebody with a little sass. In a good way. In a good way. He's looking for somebody he can say, I love you, and they say, I love you back, and mean it. He's looking for someone that he says, hey, look, I've got these gifts for you. I've got these things for you, and this is kind of what I'm looking for. And you respond back and say, okay, Lord, I give you that. Here it is. Or you might say, no, Lord, no. I can't do it. And the Lord loves it, because he says, I can help you do it. Just let me. Let me help you. There's interaction there, right? As opposed with the robot. The robot's just responding to things that you've already programmed it to. So God wants the gift of someone who has a will of their own that can actually oppose God if they want to. Isaiah 58. Verse 1. God has made clear what he wants from us. And it's our gift to be able to give it to him. And yes, you say, well, everything we have, God has given to us. Yes, he has. And it's just like the child that, you know, I want to get a gift for mama and get a gift for daddy. And I don't have any money. So who gives them the money? Mommy and daddy. Gives them the money for them to go. But there is a difference. The child picks it out. The child picks it out. And so the mommy and daddy, when they get that gift, they're very pleased because the child picked it out and has given it to them. No different with God. He wants his gift of a house. He wants his gift of rest. But he's got children that he has to give to so that they can give back to him. In terms of obedience and so forth. Speaking of obedience, let's look at 58, Isaiah 58, starting in verse 1. Let me get there. Now, it's talking about the Sabbath, but not the Sabbath in terms of the day, per se. Shout it out aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. You fast. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and lying on a sackcloth in ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fast I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am, or here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, and then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up. It will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. God is asking for another gift. He's asking for a fast, a Sabbath fast. And I'm not talking about Saturday. And he's not talking about Saturday here. He's talking about a fast from not doing your own will. See, he didn't make you robots. He made you with a will. He made you with ability to say no to him. Ability to want to do your own thing. But he's saying, if you turn from that on my holy day. And in the Old Testament, the holy day was Saturday. But in the New Testament, what is the holy day? Every day, exactly. It's every day. And so if we turn away from doing our own thing and turn away from doing what we want to do and what we want to think and what we want to say and come to the Lord, boy, that makes his day. That's the fast that he's looking for. That's the Sabbath that he's looking for. So a gift that we can give the Lord, or gifts that we can give the Lord, is one, a house by being a living stone, letting him make us into living stones. That takes time, as Stan told us this morning. It takes time, but God can do it. God will do it. It's just like, again, the child giving the gift that mom and daddy had to pay for, okay? Same with us. We're giving God back the gift of being living stones that his son had to pay for. We give him the gift too of rest. He's looking for rest. He wants rest. He wants peace. And he's going to get there. But his rooms have got to be cleaned. His rooms have got to be cleared out of all the things that irritate him. His rooms, you and me, have got to be cleared out and cleaned and dusted and washed and... But not just that, so it's sitting empty, so he can fill it with what he wants in it. We know Jesus warned us about if we get rid of demons in our lives and everything's clean and swept, if we don't have anything in there to replace it, they're going to come back with more. So it's not just a cleaning out, but it's also a putting in that seed that God puts in us. And again, as Stan said this morning, it's that seed that needs to be fed. It needs to be nourished. And we have the gift to do that. We have the gift to do that. We can feed it and nourish it so that God's room, his abode, his home, is something that he can find rest and peace in. And then, as we just read, obedience. Obedience. This is probably the foundation. We can't even get there without being obedient. That's our gift to God, to be obedient. To do his will. What did Jesus say? My brothers and sisters are those who do my Father's will. That's pretty important. I mean, he put that above his family, his blood family. You are my brother and sister. You belong in my family if you do my Father's will. That's a gift to God. That's a gift. God has needs. And you say, well, he can make and create anything he wants to. Yes, he can, and he's doing it. He's making himself a house. And in that house, he's making it so he can find rest in it. And he can only have that happen as long as we're obedient to his will. If we're not, we cut off the progress. We cut off the food for the seed that he's put in us. And we can kill that thing that God has put in us, that seed, that portion of Christ. God has needs. He has desires. And so, Lord, we ask you, what are your desires? He wants a house. He wants peace in that house. And he wants living stones that obey him, just like Jesus does. This is a gift. It's not just to be given on Christmas Day, on Jesus' birthday. This is a gift that is every day. Just like he gives us gifts every day. These are precious gifts to God. And he set it up that way. Give these gifts to God. If you want to know what he wants, that's what he wants. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a good father. And Jesus, you are a great brother, elder brother. And you provide so many things to us. You give us many gifts, innumerable gifts, each and every day. God, help us to be grateful for those things. Help us to see that. Help us not to take them for granted, to take you for granted. But Lord, you also have needs. You also have desires. You know, we look at you sometimes like, oh, he's Almighty God. What does he want? He doesn't need anything. He just wants us to stop being, you know, sinners, and so we can go up to heaven and just praise him for a million years. No, that's not all he wants. Yeah, he definitely wants us not to be sinners anymore. But he has a desire because he doesn't have a house right now. Wait a minute, what about heaven? Jesus said, heaven is not my home. He said, it's my throne. And the earth is my footstool. Who will build me my house? Lord, you've given us an opportunity to provide you the gift, to provide you a gift that you desire, a house. Now, yes, you will build it with your hands, and like the mother and father that gives the money to the child to go buy them a gift. Yes, everything that we do, everything that we have comes from you, comes from your love, your grace, your power. To help us, Lord. But we have the choice to say, yes, Father, here. Yes, Jesus, here. Here is me. I want to be a part of your house. I want to be your dwelling place so you can find rest. God can't get that if we say no. Oh, yeah, he can probably get in there and just bogart his way in and just, you know, tear everything up and get it out of there and just forcefully sit himself down there on the throne in your heart, in that room, in that dwelling. But it wouldn't be real. It'd be just like a robot. And that is not what he wants. He wants someone who can, by their own will, say, Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, here's my life. It's yours to do with what you will. Make me into what you want me to be. Make me into your image. Make me into that dwelling place so that you and the Father can dwell in peace with rest. And whatever that takes, Lord, the troubles, the struggles, the wrestling, the things that you allow in our lives to help us be formed and conformed into your image, bring it on, Lord. That's my gift to you. I say, yes, bring it on. my gift to you, Lord. And Lord, my gift of doing your will. You've given me a choice. I can say no. I can try to be the captain of my fate, captain of my soul, whatever that poem is. But my gift to you, Lord, each and every day, Lord, is to do your will, to be obedient to you, so that all these things can happen. Being made into the living stone, you finding your rest, peace in us, in your house that you're building with us. And help us, Lord, to give those gifts every day. Not just for Christmas, not just during this season, this time, but every day, Lord, these gifts coming from each one of us, Lord. Abba, Abba, here's my gift. Abba, here's my gift. I hope you're pleased with it, Abba. Here's my gift. It comes from me, Lord. It comes from my heart. Abba, here's my gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've done and are doing and will do to help us give those gifts from our heart, from our very being, so that in the end, you can have what you desire. In Jesus' name, amen.